Okay, those are great, great questions. So, you know, periodizing, right? Like making a claim about either the structure of our economic relations or the kind of formations of ideology in our time is a dialectical process, right? We think about what is the same and what is different. I think it is pretty much agreed upon by now by a lot of cultural critics that we're no longer in postmodernism, but what is it that we are in instead? And what are the pieces of postmodernism or the tendencies in postmodernism that are still with us? What are the structuring conditions that remain the same? What are things that have been intensified, and what are things that are qualitatively different? So that's some of the question that the book is trying to ask, like, is there something that comes after postmodernism as mainly an aesthetic kind of manifestation, right? So what's happening across different media as they kind of represent, engage with, and kind of modulate and think about the what's happening in the economic base, right? So for Jameson, what's really interesting about postmodernism as something that comes after modernism is that there is, to go back to that idea of multinational corporations, there's a kind of moment of significant integration of kind of corporate relations and economic, both exchange and productive processes that make the kind of world market appear totalized and that make it so that it seems, in fact, that these multinational companies are somehow superseding the national formation or the state in any individual instance. And that kind of moment, which is about, you know, trade and logistics and treaties and laws, right? That moment, it becomes extremely complex. Like, how do you map the globe? How do you kind of make, you know, the system of global capitalism the subject of your analysis or your description or your representation when it's so large, right? When it's everywhere now. So it's a kind of end of history moment. That's sort of that Fukuyama idea that, like, oh, when everything is capitalism, that then we stop having kind of like a contestatory horizon of different systems, but we have this total system that we have to make sense of. And postmodernism as an aesthetic style for Jameson is like a lot of kind of integrating or blending or hybridizing different styles and different aesthetic techniques to try to get at that map or to try to get at that whole complicated system, and also what he calls the loss of historicity. So, you know, he doesn't mean it in the Fukuyama sense, but that when we start to have kind of total commodification, when we start to have all culture is available to be, you know, turned into kind of subjects of trade when everybody is a trading partner, that you get this just interesting clash of different kind of cultural styles or different kind of aesthetic traditions or different kinds of cultural practices, which yields this weird hybridity. So postmodern architecture is his like favorite example, right? But like, or his kind of initial example. But if you think about how like a postmodern building might have like, you know, innovative materials like titanium sheets, but also kind of have like Doric columns or like that it melds together these styles in this kind of collage way that is playful and heterogeneous and seems to do away with a kind of history in the sense that everything is available to us right now equally for playing with in the present, right? But he does also mean that something like that moment of integration of the capitalist market puts us in a position where we lose the ability to think about the contingent past that led us here, right? There wasn't an inevitable, you know, totalization of capitalism. There are a lot of conjunctures of contingent kind of losses of power or struggles or technological innovations and things that kind of you know, end up working together. But if we don't have the ability to think about them as having been, you know, in some sense, chance driven rather than inevitable, then we lose a certain kind of judgmental distance on, you know, the present or on the kind of fact of the total system. So that's loss of historicity is kind of aesthetic, and it's kind of political, and it's kind of about our ability to cognize how we got to where we are, which is somehow limited when where we are is so big and integrated and total and definitive, right? Mm-hmm. So fast forward, you know, 50 years, basically, right? A lot of the kind of legal and economic developments that are Jameson sort of referring to, he doesn't always fully exfoliate them, that we, are we in the same kind of position? Do people, is the ability to understand capitalism the same or not? And is the kind of economic basis of global integration the same or not? And one of the things that I'm trying to argue is that what people call secular stagnation, what economists and historians, you know, and mainstream economists, right? Not just like Marxists, the quacks, right? That we have been in a period of like really 50 years of protracted non-growth by the G7 economies. And they thought that globalization was going to be this massive kind of, you know, continuation of the infinite horizon of growth. But it hasn't exactly, of course, you know, transpired that way. And what's happened instead is a lot of emphasis on circulating commodities faster and services faster rather than producing new kinds of commodities, because the market is not totally saturated. There are obviously there are places in the world where people's standard of living is very different than what we would think of in the G7s, right? You can see the limit there. And so instead of producing more things, there is this speed up of exchange of things, intensification of circulation, you could call it. So we get things faster, we get things on demand, we get things direct access, we get things same day shipping, right? And that is, to me, and the kind of fact of that arena being the main source for economic profit in these last 50 years, and especially with like what we call platform capitalism, or kind of what was promised as a digital revolution, but hasn't actually, you know, enhanced productivity or expanded production that much in the 21st century. That to me is a changing economic basis. And then I'm trying to sort of think about the changing style or changing ideology that goes with that. Like, if we have art that is instant message, you know, on demand, exchange guaranteed, rapid uptake, express direct, right? Doesn't that mean that the art is kind of taking it?
And so on.